The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 60 minutes after 8, Mr. X rejoins the program. Mr. X in the upright locked position. How are you doing today, sir? Welcome back.
Well, Bill, I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy that the air is relatively clear. And I'm looking forward to try to talk a little bit and get some people aware of what we can do here.
Yeah, and hopefully the fire, they'll keep a good hand on the Upper Applegate fire. I was hearing rumors behind the scenes that there were some questions being raised, like, hey, where are the tankers, right? And they were like, well, Texas is being emphasized in that some people were working behind the scenes to pull some strings. Did you hear the same rumors that I did?
I did, Bill.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden the tanker shows up, right?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, it's people have to understand it. It's resources. And, I mean, you go back through the history of it. You know, you hear the battles where they wanted to move the tanker base from here. They wanted to do this. They wanted to do that. But the reality is, are these fires necessary? And could it have been handled differently? And that's hopefully what we'll get through here today with a little bit of understanding of how this stuff all works.
Now, before we move on to this, don't you find it interesting that the Shady Cove fire and the fire in the Upper Applegate started within just a few minutes of one another? Isn't it interesting?
15 minutes apart, though. And what's really interesting is that the Eagle Point Shady Cove area, the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy, wanted to have a prescribed burn up there. Mm-hmm. And always after fire season, like last year, the Jacksonville City Council voted to have a prescribed fire. Oh, and Grayback was involved, and Lamatotsky, however you pronounce it, were involved. And they're going to, but 2 weeks before fire season ended, and they voted to do it. And luckily, we had this enforcement by the county, which is literally the top level of governing body that can make these arrangements and force the issues.
Yeah, we're not going to do prescribed burns during fire season, period. Done.
Bill, let me ask you a question. If you wanted to burn a pile of debris at your house tomorrow, could you do that?
Nope. No.
Nobody can burn in an intentional way. Why are they above that rule?
Because they are professional arsonists, and this is the business model, okay?
Well,
how about that?
This is the business model, and this is where we have to, if we don't take a stand and we don't start fighting and understanding this, these people are going to end up pushing us out of our homes.
All right. Now, let's take this.
We have to live in fear.
Yeah. Now, let's take this then to the frauds being perpetrated in the public meeting issue. And this is keying off of Gino's conversation yesterday. Listener Gino, who attended many of these numerous over the years, consensus process, Delphi methodology, whatever you want to call it, the Oregon solutions, the Oregon kitchen table style of things, the ODF fire map meeting that Herman was talking about, same design. They're not public hearings. They call them like they act like they're town halls, but they're really all about predetermined outcomes and dividing and conquering, right? Gino described it quite perfectly how they do this, right?
Right. And he did a very good job. There's a few things that I would add and have to add to what he says, because if you understand the law, and what we've said many times is you have to out the intrusion. You have to out it as an intrusion, and you have to express the methodology. And I want to go into it a little bit deeper, even the fiduciary duties of the people that are there. Now, let me ask you a question, Bill. You work for KMED, correct?
Yes,
you
I do.
You work for Bicoastal Media.
Yes, I do.
Your fiduciary obligation goes to where? To the people that pay your wages.
That's right. And also is the other side, the federal government, defend the license. That's the other thing. Be a good boy. Okay.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. But what I'm saying is that you have a fiduciary obligation and duty. That fiduciary duty is basically, it's a commonplace thing. It sits in the background. Most people live within it all their lives and never violate it. But now here's an intentional violation by literally the state wanting to impose policy changes. And policy, as we discussed, is not law. Policy is a desired direction.
And now, it's a political desire, I would add. It's usually a politicized desire. Okay.
Now, we look at this and we figured it out a long time ago. We've talked about this many times. It's how the relative few control the lives of the many. And in this case, the imposition of sustainable development goals, that's the reality here. But it's about trying to control access to the river. It's trying to control our water. Oh, you can't have access to your well for growing any food.
It's all connected between and the kitchen table conversations, the jet boats, the fire map, the development. I mean, all of this is designed to get us out of here, right?
Just so the public is clear, because the state of Oregon doesn't want to do its fiduciary obligation and duty, because I'll prove that right now, okay? The reality to Oregon, okay, this is ORS 192.620, and it states, the Oregon form of government requires an informed public aware of deliberations and decisions of governing bodies and the information upon which such decisions were made.
Yep.
Now, it says also, it is the intent of ORS 192610 to 192690 that decisions of governing bodies be arrived at openly. And that's the reality. When we look at this, now you can make an assumption here right now and just say, when you get an official reply to something and it says basically replies and responses that concerns will be part of the record, that's deceptive. And it's a clear violation of their constitutional thing because saying that
will respond to your concerns that they become part of the record, that's not responding. Just putting it in the database is not responding, okay?
And it's not putting down your objection to the process that they're using. And that's the key. It's this consensus-based process that they're using. And when you look at this, every aspect of it, Bill, is just a ridiculous thing, because through this, they're trying to control everything. The smoke and fire issue, it comes from a concept put forth by these people that they want to do landscape scale prescribed burning based on a concept that the Native Americans burnt all the time.
Well, you blew that up last time. You blew that up last time you were on. Native Americans did not burn their hunting grounds. OK, they didn't sit around there in the summertime and say, something, we need to manage the forest. And so we're going to burn the forest in the summertime. They didn't do that. They just did not.
But now, Bill, one of the key things to understand in your life here, how many people, how many years have you lived here? Has the state of Oregon ever made an announcement and told you that your belief system, your value for public input, your understanding, your common sense, your life was immaterial because we are making the decisions for you through this form of consensus-based processes?
They have never said that. They have never said that openly, Ed. You know that. But what they have done with consensus process, that is in fact, your voice doesn't matter. The consensus process, these Oregon kitchen table groups, the Oregon Department of Forestry, the ODF, the fire meetings where they break you up into groups and things like that. This is a deceptive process to hide what the state government is doing behind the illusion that your public input is important and welcome. Right? Am I right
That's
or wrong?
Exactly right.
Okay. It's an illusion.
You're spot on, Bill. It's an illusion. It's an illusion based upon your ignorance, okay? Now, we've discussed it before, okay? So now you've got 192620. We're supposed to be made aware of what's going on, but they don't. Now you've got 180. Now, this is in the Administrative Procedures Act, ORS 183502. the authority of agencies to use alternative means of dispute resolution programs. Okay? Now think about that just for a second. The authority of agencies to use alternative means of dispute resolution programs. Well, the consensus thing is part of the dispute resolution program. And that's the reality to it is. It was all put in place under that guideline to control public policy input.
And to hide it from the people. They're hiding it from the people.
And to hide it.
Yes.
And not, and they don't make a, you know, like an announcement that this is the only pathway we're going on. We're going to close down your river, the passageways. But the thing is that the ORS statute 183.502, number one, unless otherwise prohibited by law. That's the first item. So now if it's prohibited by law, what is it, what does that say? It says it's invalid.
Authority of agencies to use alternative means of dispute resolution programs unless otherwise prohibited. Okay. Now, I may be misunderstanding this because it would appear that it says that they're allowed to use dispute resolution. It says authority of agencies to use.
Let me take you to where you'll understand it. If it's prohibited by law, they can't use it. Okay. That's what they're saying.
Okay.
Now, if you go, let's take the recent thing with the kitchen table being involved trying to develop a pattern where they can control access to our river.
Well, we already have a way to deal with regulations on the river, do we not?
Well, we have an administrative rule package that's controlled by the Marine Board. But what they're trying to do is alter the administrative input, saying it's a public opinion and that there's this big, big problem that, oh, they're destroying the water, they're doing this, and they're literally lying about every bit of this.
And that's how they use a consensus process to bypass the true input, true public input. They create these
right.
These magical, faked-up opinion meeting polls kind of thing, right?
Now here, this I'm going to read you a quote. This is from the Oregon Department of Justice, okay? This is dated April 21st, 2005. It's document number 8281. And I've sent you the link in this, and you can post it, you can do it. But the reality is that this is the Attorney General of Oregon stating what can be done on the river. And here's the quote. In sum, we believe that the public trust doctrine prevents the state from alienating or otherwise encumbering the public's right to use state-owned waterways so as to materially affect or impede those public rights. See also 25 Opinion Attorney General 274, 1951, summarizing Oregon case law describing the circumstances under which the state may alienate or encumber state-owned waterways. The reference document was prepared by the Attorney General of Oregon and is comprised of 33 pages, okay? Now, if you want to sit back and read the 33 pages, but what you're going to find, there's a summary, and I just read it to you. Now you got to ask yourself, under the other laws, if the Attorney General finds enough law that says you can't do this, why is the kitchen table trying to alter the administrative rules?
Because it's about faking people. It's about faking people out that there's actually legal power for them to do so. And if nobody complains, then, well, we're just doing this because we can, in essence, right?
Well, now let's take this to fire mapping, okay? Now, the big thing lately has been the fire mapping again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do they need a fire mapping situation, Bill? Why do they want to impose restrictions on private property owners to prepare their land for fire?
Because it's about being prepared to burn the landscape all year.
That's right. It's landscape scale. These ridiculous NGOs that have been in, you know, relative secrecy in the background have been pushing and pushing for landscape scale burning programs. We have to let it burn through. We have to restore the land to pre-white settlement conditions. Well, last time I checked, Bill, we were settled. We're still here. It's not like there's been a mass exodus and everybody's gone.
Oh, but they want us gone. But ultimately, these people want us gone, though. They do.
That's the reality of what they want to do. So now, do they have the right legally to do so? And they do not. because you're afforded certain constitutional rights on your property, property rights, everything else. You don't. This is a ridiculous thing, but it comes through an alteration of policy. But they've never told you, so they're literally, you know, misconstruing their presence. They're an adjunct. They admit that they're an adjunct. They're an unnecessary presence to this.
But they're hoping that you will not call it out there and go along with it. That's why they call it a consensus process, right? Well, we have a consensus
exactly
that we'll
right
do it anyway, right? It's not about the law. It's about policy, right?
You get into these actual meetings themselves. Some of these meetings will be run by consulting groups. Okay? So one of the first keys that you ask, and basically if you were sitting there with the person running your group, because they break you up into the Delphi thing, and they'll have one of their facilitators running the group. And the facilitator is there to get you to marginalize your input and agree with the outcome being based on a nice person. But the reality to it is that what they're trying to do, okay, is put forth a predetermined outcome. You sit back and you look at that. The first question in your mind is you look at them and you say, who do you work for? You ask the facilitator, who do you work for? In other words, who pays your salary? Because that person owes their fiduciary duty to who? The consulting firm that they work for. And that's just a simple reality. Now, if they do that, do they have a fiduciary duty as, you know, to the public?
No. They do not.
The consulting firm is getting paid to do what? Come up with a predetermined outcome.
Yeah. Well, the consulting firm is there to work the grift, is essentially. They're working
that's
their
exactly
own grift.
Exactly right. And
you know?
That's the thing that has to be, you know, we have to start outing this on a step-by-step basis.
So, okay, you're at a public meeting here,
right,
Ed. What is the process? Gino, of course, called out, you know, the public process in his other meetings, but how would you add to it? So you're at these meetings. What do you do?
Well, exactly the pathway that I just said. You first, you find and you go for the fiduciary obligation and duty of the person that's there. Now, if it's somebody for kitchen table, they may work for the university system. I don't actually know who signs their paychecks. I can read something here right now. Okay, this is from the NPCC, which is the National Policy Consensus Center, Plan for Collaborative Solutions. Now, bear in mind that kitchen table denies being part of this, but the NPCC says this. It says, we'll connect you with the NPCC program that best suits your situation. Oregon Consensus, Oregon Solutions, or Oregon's Kitchens Table. Now, that puts them all pretty much in the same category. Now, when you look them up, they're all housed under the same thing. They're all dealt with in the same way. But who is their fiduciary duty to? Well, it's to the kitchen table.
Their duty is to the organization. It's not to the Constitution. It's not to the people.
That's exactly right. And it's there to create a predetermined outcome to alter policy direction.
These are intruders on the whole process. Now, what would be a real Oregon? What would be a real meeting about the challenges or conflicts on the river? And what would a real fire meeting look like? How would that be run and who would be running it? Could you give us an idea on when we know there's an actual real meeting? How would you do that?
Well, I look at it and I don't believe in being involved in the kitchen table process other than if you want to stop in there and just give them a written notice that they're violating the law.
But you see, they're going to keep going. They're going to keep going and doing this.
I understand.
All right.
The biggest thing to do is get people to understand that they don't have to listen to that facilitator. They can make their comment. They can move it forward, but they should also duplicate that effort with the actual agency that's involved and show that the information from the kitchen table aspect is to be considered nothing more than a stray comment from somebody else, and that the actual public input is the thing that's mandated and should be considered.
Well, what does real public input look like? Ed, I'm trying to get a specific. What does real public input look like, not Oregon kitchen table thing? Is it a government hearing? Is it, or what? How do you do it? What's the process?
That's what it is. That's what it is. And if we have to, in mass, write letters, write a statement to the Marine Board, a multiple request for a public hearing on this, that because they will say, that, you know, the direction of this, see, this is very difficult, Bill, to answer your question. We have to trigger a public input process by our objection to this other process. So we'll probably have to send letters in mass to the State Marine Board. And it was actually the State Marine Board, the Department of State Parks, and one other one. There were several in a criteria there, because all of this stuff combines with the state agencies are going to propose an administrative rule change. It doesn't belong in administrative rule change, so we have to come up with a way to trigger that Marine Board. Now, what we have to do is, through the information that I just gave you, you have to read a little bit of this stuff. You have to understand and then write a demand for them to fulfill their obligation and duty to have a real public hearing and obey the law.
All right.
Now, once they do that, we have to attend the meeting. And then we have to do the same thing. The other aspect of it, when you're doing this, if you want to diminish the presence of the kitchen table, attend the meeting, but stand by your ground and object to what they're doing. Say it in the right way. And if you're there, use the law. Use 183.502. Use 183.192.610 or 620. If that's the thing, what are you doing here? And if you're connected to the National Policy Consensus Center and it's there to push consensus-based programs and adjust policy, why aren't you admitting it? Why are you hiding that fact?
Why are you making this seem like this is a true state hearing when it's not? Okay. All right.
That's exactly right. This is not a state hearing. You make the statements in mass of what you're saying. This is we've allowed this to progress, Bill. As people, we've allowed it to progress. We've accepted it. And we have a fight going against it. But the reality is we have to start figuring out how to deprogram the people that go along with this stuff. Because this is, you think you're doing so well, you're brainwashed into it. We got to protect this, we got to protect that, let's avoid the Constitution. No, the Constitution is your primary foundational guiding document. And if they're out of line, we've got to tell them they're out of line.
All right. Mr. X with me this morning.
I hope that makes sense.
Ed, I'm going to post the information that you gave us this morning, and it's going to be like a little thing people can then copy it, save it, print it out, and save it when they if they pop into these meetings. And then, of course, formulating comment here to demand true public hearings on all of these conflicts, okay? I think we may have someone has a question for you. Hi, you're on. Mr. X is here. Who's this? Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ron Grants Pass. I want to suggest that we're beating around the bush on this. We need to go to the root. The root is the lawsuit. A lawsuit brings them to a total stop until they get results.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there and see. Ed, I don't know about the lawsuit aspect of things because we got compromised judges in this system, but I could be wrong. What do you think about Ron's suggestion that a lawsuit?
And it's no disrespect to Ron, but actually the first step is a cease and desist. Okay? You have to inform them with the information that I've just given everybody. You do a cease and desist to this program of saying no and give them an opportunity to correct it. That's what we have to do first. And then if they fail to correct it, then you pursue the legal thing of pursuing a lawsuit.
But you give the agency and the state the opportunity to correct their crime first, okay?
Right.
All right. All right.
That's right.
All right. Ron, I appreciate that.
A lot of times, Bill, okay. What will happen is that they will morph into something else. They will go and change their entire program of everything that they're doing. everything that they're doing, they will change. And there's slight changes over the years that we've been talking about this.
Yeah.
There are slight changes that I see how they've...
Yeah, I get it.
Organizational
okay.
thing.
All right, Ed, okay, I thought we were only going to do 10 minutes. These things always run long, okay? We're not going to...
Okay.
Yeah, but... Okay, I think we've done a good 20 minutes of a bite. That's about as small of a bite as we can. It's a complex situation, but you know, you must engage with these agencies and demand true public hearings, actual public hearings, not stakeholder policy consensus groups with splitting you up into various tables, but real hearings. And they don't want that. And the reason they don't want that, Ed, is because people will actually go out there and call their crap out, what they're trying to do here. They don't want that because they want us gone. The predetermined outcome is that you get people off the land, off the river, out of Southwest Oregon. That's the predetermined outcome.
Well, reality to it, Bill, you have to look at them and out them for what they are. They're an intrusion. They're an adjunct. They're there, and they're an unnecessary addition. So you tell them that. You have to tell them that they're not welcome. You're looking at this saying, we have to do this differently, or you're not. Your position here is irrelevant to me. This, if you are taking public input, you ask them a question. Are you taking legitimate public input? Or are you trying to facilitate information to be distributed to the decision-making groups of the agencies that's skewed? And they have to answer that.
All right, Ed. I got to go here.
Every level for what they are.
Okay. I appreciate the take, and we're going to stay on this because there's a lot of dog and pony show meetings, and everybody comes back with the same thing. They don't really want to hear you. We have to demand being heard. And what role do our counties play in possibly facilitating a better outcome on this? What do you believe?
I believe that the counties can have a great influence on it, and I believe our county especially has had a great influence on it. I would like to see an actual public meeting as the body politic, because I've gone over it before, how the intrusion goes all the way up, you know, with the definition within our charter. The reality to it is if we want any option for self-determination, we have to push our county to do these things.
All right.
Now, whether or not it's necessary is the question.
Okay. All right, Ed. We'll put this information up so people can have it. And it'll be on today's Bill Maher Show blog for the section here, and we'll tag it up there. And these are the laws that you can reference when it comes time to, A, make your comments and demand of the various agencies, whether it's the Marine Board, whether it's the Oregon Department of Forestry, whether it's any of these other alphabet soup agencies that are trying to keep us hidden beneath a consensus process and kind of just moving us into the abattoir. Thank you so much for your work on this, as always, okay? All right.
All right, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. It is 8:43 at KMED, KCMD. After all that heaviness, we need a palate cleanser, and that's a Diner 62 Real American Quiz. Jump on it at 770-5633. Let's get you taken care of on that. 770-KMED. If you haven't won in the last 60 days, you can win this next. Get yourself a crispy chicken sandwich with a nice, wonderful... what did I get the other day? Was that the half ham special? They have that for $10.95 Monday through Friday in the morning, during the morning show. All your breakfast and lunch favorites. They have it all at Diner 62. Let's have some fun with that next, okay?
Rhonda talks about her experience with Clouser Drilling.
Kevin came right out. The thing that really stood out to me, we could see the years of experience in the quality of their work. And that just showed us what great communication that they have. I wouldn't hesitate to recommend Clouser Well Drilling. They were great to work with.
Clouser Drilling has the experience and the equipment to handle the most challenging conditions. Visit ClouserDrilling.com. That's ClouserDrilling.com.
Northwest summer's out on the patio. There's nothing better. But Terra Firma Foundation Systems wants you to know there's nothing worse than a cracked, broken patio. It's unsightly and unsafe. If you have sinking or separating concrete patios, walkways, porches, or driveways, Terra Firma can help. Our concrete leveling can restore your home's concrete. Enjoy your outdoor spaces this summer. Visit goterrafirma.com. That's goterrafirma.com. CCB 173547.
The Sherm's Markets Jackson County Fair. It's an ag venture. July 16th through the 21st. Enjoy great entertainment, food, 4-H FFA exhibits, carnival rides and games, and more. Saturday, July 20th, KTVL 10 and Sign Dude present Queen Nation at the Bi-Mart Amphitheater. The world's best Queen tribute band playing their best hits like We Will Rock You, We Are the Champions, Another One Bites the Dust, Don't Stop Me Now, and Bohemian Rhapsody.
I see a little silhouette of a man. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, swing through the fandango.
Going to want to get close for this one. Get your reserved seats now and entry into the fair, starting at just $15. Now that's value. It's the Sherm's Markets Jackson County Fair, July 16th through the 21st. It's an ag venture. Get tickets now at theexpo.com. That's theexpo.com.
Stay updated on recreational opportunities all over our region with the Outdoor Report every Friday morning just past 7 a.m. on the Bill Meyer Show. The Outdoor Report on KMED and KCMD is powered by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure off Vilas Road on Airway Drive.
Welcome back to the Bill Meyer Show, 106.3 KMED.
Portion of the program sponsored by Valley View Nursery, the only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think, all right? We appreciate their sponsorship, too. All these great local businesses, including the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. And let me go to Jerry. Jerry, you're up here. How you doing?
Good morning, Bill.
Thank Good morning. You. Good morning, Jerry. Well, it was today, June 26th. Make that tomorrow, rather, in history. June 26th, 1974. The first ever item was grocery scanned with a UPC barcode. I don't know if you remember that day or not, but the first version of a barcode was made by inventor Joe Woodland in the sand on Miami Beach in 1949. He designed that pattern of the thick and the thin lines, and he took his inspiration from Morse code. But instead of communicating through dots and dashes, it relayed information through the thick and thin lines. So he got a patent for this in the late 40s, and it took a couple of decades to make it actually work. There was no way to read a barcode in the 1940s, and so the invention of the laser in 1960 created the possibility for scanning it. Now, at the same time, computers became smaller and more affordable, Jerry. So, first question I have for you this morning is, what was the first item that got scanned with a barcode? Was it A, a pack of Wrigley's Juicy Fruit gum? Was it B, a 12-ounce box of Post Honeycomb cereal? Was it C, a soft pack of Camel non-filter cigarettes? Was it D, a 12-ounce can of Campbell's SpaghettiOs with meatballs? Or was it E, a 12-ounce bag of Frito-Lay nacho cheese-flavored Doritos? It's one of those five. One of those five products was the first one that had a barcode on the scan. What do you say?
You know what? I think I'm going to go with B.
A 12-ounce box of Honeycomb. Honeycomb, no, not this
honeycomb.
Time. I'm sorry, Jerry. Wasn't it? Wasn't it? Let me go to Tom. Tom's up here next. Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Just fine.
All right, Tom. It's either Wrigley's Juicy Fruit, soft pack of Camel non-filter cigarettes, 12-ounce can of SpaghettiOs, or a 12-ounce bag of nacho cheese-flavored Doritos. First one scanned with a barcode.
How about a 12-ounce can?
12-ounce can of SpaghettiOs? No, not this time. Sorry. Thanks for trying, though. Let me go to Kevin. Oh, Kevin, it's not the SpaghettiOs, and it's not the Honeycombs. So it's either Juicy Fruit gum, Camel cigarettes, or a 12-ounce bag of nacho cheese Doritos.
It's got to be the Juicy Fruit, Bill.
It's got to be the Juicy Fruit. Yeah.
You're a winner!
You got it, Kevin.
Yeah,
yeah, this was at a supermarket in Troy, Ohio. A pack of Wrigley's Juicy Fruit gum came the first item scanned with the barcode. And they worked really hard. And by the way, the reason why they wanted to make it Juicy Fruit is because they wanted to prove that you could do it on small items, that even small items could take the barcode. And Kroger became the first store to install a pilot program of barcode scanners in 1972. Kroger and RCA collaborated on the automated supermarket checkout stand, which uses Woodland's bullseye barcode. And the round design was not reliable, so they ended up going to the rectangular one. But it worked pretty good. Pretty cool story. And the only thing that do we have barcodes on our I don't have a barcode on my wrist yet. Do you? Just kind of curious about that, Kevin. Do you?
Not quite yet, but
I'm sure they're working on something like that.
Yeah, I imagine so. Hey, I appreciate you being here. We're going to send you to Diner 62. No barcode required to attend. Hang on.
Right on.
All right. We'll have another Diner 62 quiz, I think either Thursday or Friday. It depends on when the question gods go to work on this, okay?
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Artisan Bakery Cafe, your go-to for all things delicious. Now serving amazing summer specials. Try their turtle brownie, loaded with caramel and pecans, blueberry cream cheese coffee cake, chocolate hazelnut croissant, lavender cupcakes filled with Bavarian cream, and coconut cream beignets. So many fresh baked goodies just waiting for you. Swing by Tuesday through Friday from 7 to 3 and Saturday from 8 to 3 at 1325 Center Drive across from South Fred Meyer. That's the Artisan Bakery Cafe.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
Got a mess with the IRS or a tax date with the state? You may need representation. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com. First Response Resolution, your local tax resolution experts in Eagle Point, defending your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com. You're looking for a career and not a job, or maybe you're already working a boring job and you want more out of life, but you're not sure what to do. Nursing Pathways at Asante has an answer, a career in healthcare. Pacific Healthcare Training in Central Point has a secure, recession-proof opportunity for you. Our local hospitals want to invest in you, and they'll pay for your training. Scholarship money available, tuition reimbursement too, good wages and benefits. PacificHealthcareTraining.com. Now that's a career. Call today.
106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Hey, Charisse is here, and she is cranking up the money-saving machine over at No Wires. No Wires on 1560 Biddle Road. Sweet B in Medford. Let me get her on here right now. Hey, Charisse, how you doing this morning? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, and if you're like me or so many other people, you don't want to have to pay more than you have to for what? Internet, cell phone, gosh, it's... Your television entertainment, all sorts of stuff. Break it down, right? Tell me everything you do.
So I had a gentleman come in. He goes, "Hey, I heard you on the Bill Myers Show." And I go, "Really?" I go, "How many times?" And he goes, "Hundreds." And I go, just think, if you would have came in that first time 10 years ago when you heard me, I would have been saving you $10,000 because I'm saving him $1,000 a year. And he was like, "Oh, no." So think about that.
Well, remember, it even took me a while. It took me a while for you to convert me to Dish. You know, I took the Dish Kool-Aid from you, but it tasted good. It really did. All right?
I have good Kool-Aid.
I love it. So, hey, what bargains do you got going on? No Wires, of course, family-owned and operated business here, and you're the premier Dish representative here, and you try to save people money on that. And, by the way, just make sure and touch in with Charisse for all the details, all right, and see what she can do for you. And just know that the internet and cell phone services are not provided by Dish. We want to make sure people understand that. There's all sorts of different people involved, but you're doing the same thing, trying to save people money. What are the latest here that we need to know about?
Hmm? You know, basically, if you still have cable TV or you have DirecTV or even Dish, and you want some options, come and talk to me. Give me a call and make an appointment. You got me so busy, Bill, I have to make appointments now. How about that?
Oh, boy. It's good to know, though, that a lot of people are wanting to save some money here. But so you get an appointment, you call or text. And by the way, you want to make sure, and you can just do this at any time, really. You can also text message a copy of your bill. That would work. Or just call. 541-680-5875, 680-5875, okay? So go ahead and break down some of the details here.
So basically, I want to give you a free consultation. I want you to come in and see me, you know, make that appointment or walk in, whatever you need to do. And I want to talk to you about your TV, your internet, and your cell phone options. And let's look at how much you're paying total. Add it all up. It's $300-$400 a month. I'm going to help you get it down to like half that.
Mm-hmm.
And my services are free. If you come in, I'm going to give you a free consultation. You know, the biggest, coolest thing right now, I heard T-Mobile, they're doing $30 a line. I'm doing two lines unlimited for $30.
Wow.
So that's
pretty good.
The best deal. Yeah. I mean, you can't beat it. It's got the best coverage. It's the Verizon network. The other towers, AT&T even, they don't have as good as coverage here as Verizon. We're still out in the country. You know, Medford is, you know, the country living kind of thing. So we don't have the best internet. We don't have the best phone service. So I narrow it down to Verizon for that. And then look at your internet bills. How much are you paying? Are you paying $80 a month for internet? Come and talk to me. I will cut that bill in half for you. And you don't even have to switch.
You also help people with internet that live out in the country, too, that may not have the ability for Spectrum and things like that. Juniper 3, right, is what it's called?
Yeah, the new Juniper 3. It's $65 a month. The installation's free. It's perfect for, like, couples or just one or two people. If it's a family, I recommend Starlink. We do install that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really expensive. It's like, you know, the Jupiter 3 is $65 a month versus Starlink is $120 a month.
You also offer DirecTV Spectrum cell phone service, I guess? Okay.
Yeah. So if you've had Dish forever, seriously, come talk to me. You know, I like Dish better than Direct, but when it comes down to money, if I'm saving you $100 a month, you know, let's do it. And then, you know, I like my customers to check in with me every year or 2 years so I can help them keep their prices low.
Well, you're like the internet and media gunslinger, right? You're the hired gun. You know, whatever it takes to save someone some money. And I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Yeah. Like most of my clients are Bill Meyer listeners. And so I have a lot of Bill Meyer clients that have been coming in for 10 years. They come in every year. I keep their bills low. They've saved $10,000, seriously, you know, over 10 years. So, I mean, that's a lot of money. And then, you know, the Dish thing, if you're getting those $500 gift cards in the mail, call me. Please don't call the 1-800 number. They're not going to take your old equipment back and give you the Bill Meyer VIP treatment like I will.
All right. Well, get the VIP treatment today. And like I said, there's so many ways to save money. And Charisse will talk to you about this. Get an appointment set up today. 541-680-5875. 680-5875. If you missed that, just email me. I'll get you back with Charisse's contact information. And we'll talk to you next time. Go out there. I know you got a lot of work to do, so I don't want to get in your way.
Yeah.
All right, Charisse?
Yes.
All right.
Come and say hi.
I'm
at my showroom today until 3 o'clock.
All right. Very well. NoWiresNow.com. It is 8:58.
Since 1938, Blue Star Gas has been serving Jackson and Josephine counties for all your residential and commercial propane needs. That's a long time and for good reason. Blue Star Gas employees live, play, and volunteer here in the Rogue Valley and truly care about their customers. As a customer, you can count on Blue Star Gas to provide excellent service for decades and generations to come. For more information, visit BlueStarGas.com. That's BlueStarGas.com.
At Fontana Roofing, they're doggedly determined to get things right. Here's just a sampling of conversations you'll hear around their office.
So I've noticed we've been referring to roofs in our commercials.
Of course, because that's what we do. We roof buildings.
Aha. But do we roof or roof? It's an age-old question.
Well, I suppose either pronunciation is acceptable.
Sure. But maybe we should be consistent. Why don't we ask our resident mascot for his opinion? Well, Bruno, what do you say?
Interesting.
So, when I say metal, you say, and when I say composite, you say,
tile.
Shake.
Okay, that's pretty definitive. It's rough.
I think we're going to need to conduct a customer survey.
Yeah, we're up a creek.
Fontana Roofing is your full-service residential and commercial roofing contractor. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Creek.
Crick.
Creek.
Crick.
Hi, I'm
Deb with Father and Son Jewelry, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass at 99.3 FM. And an email of the day, and that's sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. By the way, they have, if you don't have dental insurance, a dental plan, which operates a lot like dental insurance, but it's less expensive, better benefits, and fewer restrictions. Find out more at centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Dr. Steve Nelson. Okay. And Paul Princeton gets the email of the day, and he talks about observing what's been going on with the fire out in the Applegate. And he talked about the reporting on watch duty and various other things. It went into the details on the difficulty of the terrain, and portions of these areas are affected by conifer mortality. There are significant patches of dead Douglas fir trees. And here it comes, Bill. The dead trees are the result of, drumroll, climate change, decades of fire suppression, prolonged drought, and periods of high temperature. Today, tree fallers or feller are working to safely remove those trees. A couple of observations, Bill. The first ingredient of this dish of information served, and this is usually the most significant, climate change. No reference to a study or any evidence to substantiate this, quote, fact. I pulled that stunt once on my first paper in college, and it was not well received. That predates Al Gore's Settled Science. We had a reasonably good amount of snow and rainfall. Temperatures are not extreme for the fire season. Fire danger is moderate. So, Jess, substantiate if you want to make such a bold statement. Significant patches of dead Douglas fir plus decades of fire suppression. Paul wonders what happened before these decades. Well, Doug fir is a wood species with significant commercial value that was harvested. Since the tree fallers were chased out of the woods by the spotted owl, there have been little or no maintenance of the woods, resulting in what we have today. Punky, unhealthy, dense forests loaded with dead and dying vegetation, perfect for fire. Nature will correct what we should but have not done in a violent and destructive manner. How ironic that the tree fallers that were chased out are now called in to save the day. No matter, if only we would have let it burn instead of ignorantly suppressed these rejuvenating fires in the past decades, all would be well. Trust the science. Another gem in this epistle, or epistle, whatever it is, another gem. For Friday night's overnight shift, 47 personnel are assigned to this fire, including six 20-person crews. Welcome to the era of the new mathematics. So you have 120 people, but a 47 crew. Anyway, there are those that believe in this climate change hoax with religious fervor out there, and they're also bad at math. Paul, I always appreciate your thoughtfulness, and thanks for holding me to account. The email, Bill at BillMeyerShow.com, and we will talk again tomorrow, my friends. See you then.
Catch the